The 11th of December. Two games, two in-season tournament games, two very good games. And yes, I did pick all four winners. I'm pretty sure if we go back and check the show from, it probably would have been the pre-game show yesterday. I believe I picked all four, but not that it matters because I don't bet any money. So anyway, two games to cover, some injuries, some good performances. Some poor performances. This is the Wednesday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter. Find me on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. And find us on Google Podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere. Go and find us. Go and subscribe. Go and like. Thumbs up. I don't know what else you can do. Do all that stuff. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Two games. Couple of questions. Shining Knight, always here. Shining Knight, thank you for joining us. As always, two games. Let's go straight into them. First one, Atlanta get the win over New York. It was a close one. Hawks get the win 108 to 100. It was closer than that. The Knicks were up for, I won't say the whole game, but they were ahead for a sizable portion of this game. Hawks took the lead, I think midway through the third quarter. I think it was something like that, and never surrendered it. So good win for the Hawks. Sorry, I'm reading lots of notes and questions. For the Hawks, Jalen Johnson did play. Trae Young did play. DeAndre Hunter played. Bogdanovich played. So all of their guys that were on the injury report turned out. Jalen Johnson, another very good game. The further we get into the season, the less we need to talk about Jalen Johnson. And Zachary Risacher, who continues to start but is doing nothing. Trae Young had 22 and 11. Shooting wasn't super efficient, but still good numbers. And he went on a little bit of a run to give them that lead. So, yeah, his points came when they were needed. Dyson Daniels, 9 points, not a ton of points there, but had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 0 steals, but 2 blocks. So still getting it done. Minutes are there. So no need to worry about anything at all. DeAndre Hunter, 24 points and 1 rebound. And that rebound came late. He had all zeros across the board for quite a while. He's doing enough to be rostered. 24 points, 4 threes, only 4 of 6 from the line. He's normally better than that. And look, to be honest, he will normally get you more than just 1 rebound. He doesn't get you much, but doing enough to be rostered at the moment. Bogdanovich, on the other hand, 7 points, 2 assists, a steal and a block. Probably should be held, but only just. And Capella and Okongwu basically split the minutes here, and both had okay lines. Capella had 11 and 13. Okongwu had 12 and 11. He had the steal and a block, so he probably gets the slight bump here tonight. But I think they're both okay to roster at this point. All right, let's go to the... Let's go to the Knicks. Anunoby's shooting splits. I just want to bring them up here. Let's bring them up here. So I had a bit of a look because I have him on a few teams. So it just seems that he's either very efficient or terrible. And I went and had a look at his game log, and it sort of backs me up. So tonight he was 29%. Game before he was 43%, 40%. 56, 70, 20, 27, 20, 70, 53, 57, 50, 53, 59, 36, 69. So he's either really good or really bad. At the end of the season, I reckon he's going to finish about 47%, which looks pretty good. But in a head-to-head league, he goes on these runs of three or four games where he shoots under 30% or under 35%, and it kills your field goal percentage. And then the next week he'll shoot 68%. And, man, it's frustrating, especially when you are punting or not punting field goal percentage. It's weird. It's so up and down. The defense is very consistent, so that's good. We've got that to fall back on. Josh Hart continues to be really good, 21-8-6. Cat played. He was questionable coming into the game, 19-19 with 3 steals and 3 blocks. So continues his very good season. Only 3 of 6 from the line. That is not ideal, but we'll forgive him. Mikhail Bridges, 19-4-2. It's fine. He hasn't been as good as we had hoped or as some had hoped, but he's doing enough. Jalen Brunson couldn't get it falling tonight. He had 14-8 on 5 of 15 shooting. And then we know they're basically running an 8-man rotation at this point. I think we can maybe move on from McBride. I know we talk about him being this stash kind of guy, but he's just not doing enough for me at this point. I might even rather Precious Achiuwa, despite the fact that his minutes probably aren't as guaranteed. He got 2 points here, but 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 2 blocks. McBride is really just points. So when his shot's not falling, he doesn't have a lot else. Achiuwa, I think just his energy, he's thereabouts all the time. So he can get some other numbers as he did here. In standard leagues, I don't think you need to be rostering either of them, but they're certainly worth a look in deeper formats. In the next game, Houston get the win 91-90. I think we talked about this game on the pregame show being a low-scoring game because we had a Gary Payton-related question and he started, unsurprisingly, here. And it really was a defensive game. Sorry, I'm reading the comments here. It's a bit chat. Going to be spicy. Yeah. Yes, Gary Payton started. 4 points in 18 minutes. He did have 2 steals. He had 7 rebounds. He's just a streamer. Jonathan Kuminga continues to start, and he had 20 points, 7 rebounds. Good on the surface, but 2 of 6 from the line and 8 of 20 from the field is not good. So dig in a little bit, and the numbers aren't great. He was obviously starting Andrew Wiggins, who yesterday was probable, and Steve Kerr said, this is fine. We're just being precautionary. Of course, he was downgraded and then ruled out. So good old Steve Kerr there. Telling us fibs again. Draymond Green had 8 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, a block. He does enough to be rostered if you don't care about points. Steph Curry, 19 points on 17 shots, so not his most efficient night. And 2 steals. Really, I mean, this box score, just looking at it, really dictates what this game was like. A lot of it's just scrappy, which Houston love. Houston do love those games. Buddy Hield started as well, 15 points, 3 threes, 2 steals and 3 blocks is certainly not what you're going to get from him every day. He is a 3-point streamer. And the bench guys there, I mean, Pod's minutes were up, which is a good thing, 31 of them. If he is going to play 31 minutes, I mean, no Wiggins here obviously helps, because if you throw Wiggins into that starting lineup and, I don't know, maybe move Gary Payton out or whatever they would do, then 6 minutes maybe come off Pods and a few minutes off someone else. I think Pods is probably borderline. I don't think I'd be rushing to grab him. He only had 8 points with 2 steals. If we get a sense that they are going to play him 30 minutes, then he's probably worth a look, but we know what Steve Kerr is like, so I'm not convinced by this. Both Trayce Jackson-Davis and Kevon Looney were pretty bad here, or bad. They didn't have an impact. I did, as I said this morning, I did stream Kevon Looney in for rebounds and field goal percentage. I got rebounds. I got seven of those, but one of three from the from the field. Only 11 minutes. I might hold him for another game just to see. I can afford to do that in the league that I've got him in. Onto the Houston side of things. They were relatively healthy. So we got Alperen Şengün, who was questionable, I think, playing 32 minutes, 26 and 11 with 5 assists, 3 steals. So a nice night for him. Jabari Smith, look, it's probably enough to be a hold. He had 15 points with 2 blocks in his 38 minutes. The minutes are super high at the moment, so we just keep rolling with him. Dylan Brooks, 9 points, 2 steals and a block. I'm only streaming him. Jalen Green had 12 points on 5 of 15 shooting with 3 steals, but he did hit, crucially, 2 of 2 from the line, and they were the two winning, or the game-tying free throw and then the game-winning free throw. So he did it when it counts. But, I did say the score in this game, and also the fact that the Warriors were up 90-84 with 3 minutes to go, and then obviously didn't score again. And to be honest, this was not a case of the Rockets just dominating offensively or anything. They missed a lot of shots as well in those last 3 minutes. They just defended well, and the Warriors couldn't hit anything. And if we look at who took those shots, we had a missed Draymond Green shot. We had a turnover. Curry missed a step back. Podziemski missed a shot at the end of the game. So it was just, they should have won this game, to be honest, the Warriors, but didn't. Amen Thompson, Tari Eason, both were serviceable, I suppose. Tari Eason, first game back from a concussion, only 9 and 7 in 24 minutes, but he'll be better than that most nights. Amen Thompson had 10, 6 and 3 with 2 blocks, 1 steal in 29 minutes. So a good night for him. And we know the story with the Rockets here. When they're relatively healthy, we're not really streaming anyone other than Dylan Brooks. Jabari Smith, I think, is in that streaming category, but he's probably rostered, to be fair. All right, questions. Now we've got a shining night question there, but we'll come back to that one. Yes, Warriors Rockets was a physical game from what I saw as well. Refs seem to be just letting it go a little bit more in this in-season tournament, which is good. Jalen Johnson, yes, he has been very good. If we remember back, he had a somewhat slow start and people were questioning, was I right to take him in the fourth round? I think we're well past that. What else have we got? Yeah, Pods playing 20 minutes last game was a matchup thing. And that's the issue here with the Warriors, is that matchups will determine their rotations and their playing time moving forward. So it's... it's going to be an ongoing thing, much like the Thunder and a little bit like the Grizzlies. They go with whoever they want to go with. There's no rhyme or reason. At this point, Jabari Smith getting 1 rebound is hilarious, doing his best Brook Lopez impersonation. There were some interesting decisions down the stretch, interesting calls. I think the Warriors would look back on this, like I said, and regret some things that they did. They should have won. All right, let's just get to this quick question here from Shining Knight, and then I will get out of here. First time playing head-to-head, when do you start trading for playoff schedules? How important are they? Look, they are important. If you didn't draft using your playoff schedule, then obviously it is something you want to start looking at now. I personally don't pay a lot of attention to it. Doing what I do, you sort of pick up on things through other analysts and that sort of thing. And so in the back of my mind, I sort of, when you're drafting, you're aware of teams that do have a poor playoff schedule. I might sort of bring that into my decision-making a little bit, but mainly just to the point where I wouldn't draft two or three players from a team. With one, I'm okay. I'm usually punting so much that I can get by. If one of my better players do only have two games in one of those weeks, I'm okay. Another advantage for me for punting anyway. But when can you look to start trading for it? Obviously, the sooner the better, because you are further out from the playoffs and it is the opposing managers are less likely to have a look at those schedules. Knowing your league, I mean, if you're in a league with people that you think pay no attention to those sorts of things, then you could leave it a little bit longer. But this is where you use the sell high, buy low moments, things like that to make a trade. But I think it's definitely something to start considering now, and probably before we sort of get into January, because then fantasy playoffs might start. It depends on your league, but we have the All-Star break in there in February, so it gets a little bit hectic early February. So I wouldn't be doing it absolutely then. Your league may also have a trade deadline, so just check the settings to see when you can trade up until. But I think now is probably a good time to be doing it, because, we're sort of a third of the way through the season. We've got a pretty good idea of player values, stats, rotations, minutes, all that sort of stuff. Here we go. We've got a question. Drop him four. Oh, okay, so dropping four Brown. Okay, so thinking of dropping Amen Thompson for Christian Brown. I wouldn't do that. You could. I mean, if Brown is on your waivers, God, I would certainly be picking him up, but I don't think I'd be dropping Amen to do it. I think Amen is probably top 80 rest of the season. Brown is certainly potentially he is a better player this season when all is said and done, but I don't think I'd be dropping Amen. Surely you'd have a worse player on your roster than Amen Thompson. Should I still hold Herb and Schroeder or sell them while their value is high? The trade rumors, it's scaring me. I'd probably be okay holding on to Herb. Brandon Ingram's not going to be back for a while. Zion might never come back. Herb's minutes are pretty safe. Like, we know he's very important to what this team is doing. Schroeder, I would consider because I do think that they will look to trade him at some point. And we saw he was very good to begin the season and then went back to being plain old Dennis Schroeder. He's been better of late. So, Herb, I think if what he's doing is moderately sustainable defensively, offense will come and go. Schroeder, though, I do think he is someone I would consider trying to move. And Gibbo's answering. This might be holding the Schroeder question. Still need the same value, still need to fit team strategy. Yeah. Have a look at this might be to do with actually the playoff schedule. If you can, I would absolutely do it. So the question here from Lone Des is, do you think I could get Bane for Schroeder, one for one? Try. You don't know unless you try. Bane is still a bit of a buy low. It's not where it was a week or 2 weeks ago. But yeah, look, I'd do that. I think in terms of their value, they're pretty similar at the moment. It'll just be whether the person that has Bane views that the same. Do they think, Bane is sort of going to be this guy that is well, not struggles, but isn't the player he has been in previous seasons, or do they still view him as a top 50 player? If they still view him as a top 50 player, I don't think he can make this work. But if they are down on him a bit and they're looking for some assists, you could sort of sell this like, well, Ben Simmons is not playing 30 minutes a game. Schroeder is pretty locked into a big role. No mention of the trade potential or the fact that they might shut him down, or who knows what Brooklyn are doing. But, yeah, look, I'd be perfectly fine with trying for that trade. And no worries at all. Like Shining Knight just appreciate my responses, and I'm happy to respond. Okay. Yeah, look, if he's been trying to sell Bane, as I said, I think, yeah, I'd be okay giving up Schroeder. You probably lose a little bit in assists, but Bane is, for me, far more consistent and has a lot more upside long-term here. So, yeah, I'm okay with that. Okay, and that will do. That was a quick one. Things to do, people to see, places to go. I will be back in the in the morning, my time, to do... Oh, here's a... Oh, it's a punt question. Damn. All right. Which of my punt teams is traveling best? So I've got a couple. There'll be a show coming out, well whenever B-Dub gets it up. I recorded with Karan Talwa this morning. We did an industry recap, industry pickup recap. We had a matchup last week. So I'm in the auction pool or the auction division, whatever we're calling it, of the industry pickup league. And I punted very hard in that league and I'm currently first. That's obviously against some very good managers. It's 12 analysts. So that team is going really well. I've only lost one matchup and that was 5-4. And that was more of me taking my eye off the games played. So, yes, my industry pickup team, and then in my home league, home sort of the first league that I ever played in, which I'm still going in with friends, I'm winning that league as well with a – it's an auction keeper league, and I'm pretty sure I'm still winning. Let me just bring up the standings. All right, where are we? Standings, yes, I am. So I am winning that league. And the team that's coming second has Wemby, Jokic, and Halliburton. So, well, as I said, it was an auction league and he went really hard. And yeah, I'm beating him. I haven't played him yet, so I have no idea what that's going to look like. But yes, check out that industry pickup recap, which will potentially come out tonight or tomorrow. It's recorded. It's just whenever it gets put up. So, okay, now that will do. I will be back in the morning with a pregame show. And I think there's only Thursday. Three games tomorrow. So a little bit more to talk about. So we'll have three games. There will be, a pregame show and a mailbag show with Noah Rubin as well. Sorry, I'm just going to get this comment off the screen. There we go. Yes, Noah and I will be doing a live mailbag show at, I believe, 3 p.m. Eastern, I think, is when we're going to do it. And then the pregame show will probably be after that, I would say. So maybe 4 p.m. Eastern, but I don't know. I'll figure it out in the morning when I wake up. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening and downloading and all that sort of stuff. That will do. We'll put a pin in that there. I'm Adam King. This has been the post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.